عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him and bearing witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household, and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Today we start a new name from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Before we go to there, have a question. Since last time, you said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since He created this dunya, He did not look at it and He hated. Did I get that right?
Right. Yes.
Oh, okay. So how do we explain? You know, this with the hadith says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to the heaven of the dunya every night, before Fajr, in the time of Tahajjud, and ask who needs something that, you know, I can grant him, you know, the hadith. And also, how do we explain that one with the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to Musa alayhi salam. You know, in the Quran, it says, you know, when he was talking to him, and also one verse when Musa asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see him, and then he said, look to this mountain, if it stays, then you can see me, if it does not, then you will not be able to see me, and we know that the mountain was flattened. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, did the surah. So how can we explain this? You know?
What is the conflict? I still don't see the conflict between Allah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Jibreel answered the Prophet and told him, هذه الدنيا لم ينظر إليها الله منذ أن خلقها ومقتها الله ولم ينظر إليها منذ أن خلقها لأنها أضلت عبادة. That Allah, this is the dunya. Allah didn't look at it since He created it. Because it deviated His slaves. Allah hates it or Allah despises it. And then between all these things, I don't see the conflict between both.
You don't see the conflict?
Is there any specific conflict you want to point out?
No, yeah. You said he never looked at it?
Oh, you're taking it literally. Okay, you never... لَمْ يَنْظُرْ إِلَيْهَا اللَّهُ means... does not mean that He didn't actually look at it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like it. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah doesn't look at them in the day of judgment and He doesn't talk to them and they have severe punishment. It's an Arabic expression that means that Allah dislikes something so much and Allah sees that thing as very evil that He doesn't want to look at it. It's an Arabic expression that لَا يَنْظُرْ إِلَيْهِمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. It's just an expression. It's like a figure of speech. It's not literally that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not literally look at them.
And in this case, even that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never came to the dunya?
No, does not mean that at all. For example, when Allah says about those guys, Allah doesn't look, لَا يَنْظُرْ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that doesn't conflict with the statement that Allah sees everything, وَالسَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He sees everything, He hears everything, He knows everything. So there's no conflict between them because that's a figure of speech. A figure of speech, it's like a word of expression, بَلَاغَة, اسلوب بَلَاغَة يعني, مَجَاز. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was a guy talking to the Sheikh bin Baz, and the Sheikh bin Baz was arguing that there is no majaz in the Quran. When Allah says something, it means literally, there is no majaz. There is no figure of speech in the Quran. So a guy went and he said, Ya Sheikh, I should not mention the Sheikh, the name of Sheikh bin Baz, astaghfirullah al-azim, because it has a... a negative impression here on him. So let's say another sheikh. So the other scholar or the student asked him, and he said, "Ya sheikh, Allah says, you know how that sheikh is blind. So Allah said in the Quran, 'Wa man kana fi hadhihi a'ma, fahuwa fil akhirati a'ma wa adallu sabila.' Whomsoever was blind in this life, he's going to be blind in the hereafter." And the sheikh, mashallah, is a blessed sheikh, and he has a lot of knowledge, so he could not talk because he's blind. So if according to this verse, if there is no majaz, if there is no figure of speech, here we go. You are a'ma now, so you're going to be a'ma. You are blind now, you're going to be blind in the hereafter. So another also example that created problems in one of the villages, and the non-Arabic speaking villages, that the Prophet ﷺ is described in the Quran as nur, as light. And then people got into a conflict that the Prophet, when he walks in the sun, he doesn't have a shadow. Why? Because he's light. Allah says in the Quran explicitly, perfectly understandable Arabic language, okay, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa nur alladhi, bismillahir rahim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Prophet as light, literally as light. So they say he doesn't have a shadow. And the other people say, no, he's human, he has a shadow. He doesn't have a shadow. And in this case, it became like they announced on the microphone, those guys say Allah doesn't, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't have a shadow, they are kuffar. And the other guys say, oh, those guys, the guys that say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, astaghfirullah azim, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a shadow, they are kuffar, they are denying the Quran, those they are denying that the Prophet is a human. And you know, so usually in order to get out of this, the scholars say they have to gather all the articles of that speaks about the subject together, all of them. So regarding the Prophet, if he's light or human, you gather this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he's a light with the ayah in Surah Al-Kahf where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qul innama ana basharun mithlukum," I am just a human like you, with the ayah that abduhu wa rasuluh, his slave and his messenger, with the ayah that وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ, how come this is the messenger just like you walking and eating normal food and walking in the markets just like everybody else? إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا بَشْرٌ مِثْلِكُمْ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَتَفَضَّلْ عَلَيْكُمْ, he's nothing but a human like you, wants to put himself in a status above you. When you collect all these collective articles together, they draw a very clear picture showing that he is a human. And the word light was meant to be a figure of speech, a light of guidance, a figure of speech, not literally. So if we collect that hadith with all what you said, together in one frame, we will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this expression, Allah doesn't look at them, or Allah doesn't look at the dunya, it's an Arabian expression that means that it is something Allah despises and too evil for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be looking at. That's what it means.
And here, Sheikh, if you allow me, you know, I don't know, and Allahu A'lam, I'm speculating. Dunya does not mean the globe, the earth. He's talking about our interactions. That's our dunya. That's you know, if you ask people, what's your dunya? Dunya is my life, is my work, my this, that's what we say, expression, my dunya. My dunya is not meaning my earth. Dunya is God, look at the earth and look at everything, but of course, but then dunya is for those people. Again, and Allahu A'lam, I'm saying, for those people, the bad people, they don't, you know, that's why we have angels and they're recording everything and elevating Mondays and Thursdays, our, you know, behavior to God, our record, you know, for this reason.
Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith of Qudsi about dunya, that Allah looked at the dunya and he said, "Ya dunya, man khadamaki fastakhdimi, wa man istakhdamaki fakhdumi." Whomsoever becomes your slave, and servant, use him as a slave and servant, consume him, make him work hard for you, employ him, make him work hard until he dies.
Exactly.
That. And then
that's
on the
exactly
other,
my
exactly.
If it's not the earth, if I'm green and I'm planting that,
right.
That's the dunya, that's not
exactly. And on the other side, he said, if someone is using you as a slave, he's employing you to serve me for the service of Allah, then you become his slave. You have to become his slave. You have to be submissive to him. He will use you. He will put you here. He will put you there. He will send you over here. He will send you over there. You have to obey and be under his command. So both ways, the dunya is the environment where the living people are interacting with, which is everything. Dunya, everything is dunya, just like the brothers said, that the things that we interact with as living beings, the attractions of life that takes us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the message here is that the dunya is two things. Number one, majaz in the Quran, which is the figure of speech, and number two is that the dunya in particular is the attractions that take you, that is possibly going to take you away from Allah. Two ways: either will make you a slave, it will take you as a slave, or you will take it as a slave. Depends on which category you are.
Dunya was not the physical dunya, but it was the whole creation, and it kind of surprised me that I'm a part of dunya. That's how I saw it, and that's why I was also a little bit confused that why Allah would create dunya and then he would hate his creation, because dunya has been created by him.
And so is shaitan.
Yes, right? So there are good people and bad people. So I mean, I expect Allah to, you know, may Allah love you, right?
Right, sure, yeah, definitely.
So that's what. And then I thought about the interaction. Then one thing came to my mind that, I don't know whether it's a saying or what, but seeking rizq halal is ibadah, right? So if that's the case, then seeking rizq halal is a part of dunya. So, I mean, and then what I hear from you, I don't think it is the halal rizq or it is the love of the dunya itself. It is, I think it is the lust what we are talking about.
That's true.
It is not dunya over here means the lust of dunya, not living in dunya.
Right.
I mean, just like a couple of days ago, was telling us that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was given the option of he in Safar here. Before his death in Nabi Lava, he went to Jerusalem Bakri and he was feeling sick. And he told one of his slaves that he has been given the option either to be the king of this world forever or to be to go back and to see, and to meet his creator. And the servant, who I'm sure was much better person than me and most of us over here, he said, "Why don't you stay here?" And he said, "No, I have chosen to be with my God." So that shows that, I mean, his servant was at much higher level than us. He wants this dunya, he loves this dunya. So the love for dunya is in a good way. It's not in a bad way.
Right.
So I think hating dunya to me after what you heard and being confused, like, you know, was right. I think it is more like a lust of dunya than anything else.
Right. And this is why it's important that we collect all the articles together, put them in one frame, so that we can see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the full message. It's just like somebody coming to me and cutting and pasting a verse from the Quran, and he said, "Oh, and kill them wherever you find them." That verse, so I said, are you going to judge by a piece of the book or by the whole book? Shouldn't we judge by the entire book? And it makes sense that we look at the book all together instead of cutting and pasting and manipulating words so that we draw a certain picture. That's not true. So same thing, not the same thing, but the concept itself or the rule itself applies here, which is we always collect, like Brother Naif did a very good job, mashallah, collecting all the articles that talks about the subject and putting it all in one frame, and this frame makes the picture a whole lot clearer versus just picking up one hadith out of the whole book and just tick, getting this hadith out, putting it by itself, it would be misunderstood, definitely. And I like the expression of Brother Kashif that he called it lust. That is, that's a very beautiful, good, more accurate word, which is the lust of dunya, the desires that will either take you as a slave, or you take this as a, or you take it as a slave. The other hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you my slave, anta turid wa ana urid. فَإِذَا سَلَّمْتَ لِي فِي مَا أُرِيدُ أَعْطَيْتُكَ مَا تُرِيدُ وَإِنْ لَمْ تُسَلِّمْ لِي فِيمَا أُرِيدُ إِنْ سَلَّمْتَ لِي فِيمَا أُرِيدُ كَفَيْتُكَ مَا تُرِيدُ وَإِنْ لَمْ تُسَلِّمْ لِي فِيمَا أُرِيدُ لَمْ يَكُنْ إِلَّا مَا أُرِيدُ وَصَلَّطُ عَلَيْكَ الدُّنْيَا تَجْرِي فِيهَا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I lost the actual verbiage, the Arabic verbiage, but the hadith, the meaning of the hadith, that O you my slave, you want and I want. And whatever is going to happen at the end is what I want, not what you want. If you submit to me for what I want, means accept it and look up to it, not accuse me of being astaghfirullah azim mean, or like the guys say, he gives the earrings to the one who doesn't have ears, which means that he doesn't know what he's doing or whatever. If you submit to me and accept my what I do as the full wisdom, as a scenario that nothing is wiser than this scenario that has already happened, if you accept it and look at it this way and appreciate it that way, then I will give you what you want. I will give you what you want, what you're looking for. But if you reject it and you focus on this dunya, the lust of dunya, then I will unleash the lust of this dunya on you. Until you تجري فيها جري الوحوش, like you become a monster of the lust of the dunya. You are so hungry, starve, get it from here, get it from there, use it from here, use it from there, until it consumes you. Think of it like somebody, one brother used to call it the whale. الحوت, calls this dunya the whale, the lust of dunya is the whale. He says the الحوت, he sucks me, and he chews on me and then spits me at the end. Takes the juice out of me, the energy, the life, sucks all the juice out of me and then spits me at the end without any juice. You know, look at the person who died after long time, after long age, his body is gone, really chewed up. You can see the body is chewed up, everything is chewed up, Alzheimer, dementia, you know, everything you can imagine. Now. And then after he's being chewed up and sucked, his juice is sucked in, he's spit out in a grave. So that is what happens to the people who are slaves of the lust of this dunya.
But that hadith, brother, that hadith, you know, God saying, I want and you want, if people think about it carefully, they find all God's attributes in those two things, I want and you want. Who are we? If I have a slave, would I say, you want and I want? No, I want. You are nobody. You are my slave. You don't open your mouth. And God is telling us we are his creation. We are nobody. I want and you want. That's because he's merciful. That's because he's wadood. That's because he's latif. He's telling his slaves, I want and you want. God, I don't want anything except you. I don't need anything. I'm nobody.
MashaAllah, this is a very good perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for his will. And that's what Allah is expecting from you as a believer. And if you think that way, then Allah will always make it happen so that what you want, you get what you want. If it's good for you, of course. If it's not, Allah will even replace you with something better than what you asked for.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
whatever,
bless
you. La yushkar. Yani nobody get thanks for makruh except him. You know, I mean.
Subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is actually, some people look at the makruh, what you call makruh or shar. Allah calls in the Quran as shar. Shar means like something harmful. From your perspective, from in your eyes, it is shar. لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير. Surah An-Nur. Don't you think that this is bad for you? No, it's good. If you have the knowledge and wisdom of the full picture, that's good for you. So the whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called as shar, and whatever you call as something that is harmful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there some people say that this is called sour mercy. That Allah has two kinds of mercy, sweet mercy and sour mercy. Sweet mercy is the one you enjoy, and the sour mercy is the one that hurts. But both are mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, no, that's okay. I'm wondering if you still have some energy.
That's a hadith, inshallah.
Which one?
That's
why during the Isra and the Mi'raj. So he, that woman appeared to the Prophet.
Yes, okay. But
and then Jibreel.
Hadith, yani?
Yeah, that's in the hadith of the description of Isra and Mi'raj.
Oh,
okay. It's a long hadith when he was going up and then he saw people with nails of steel. And the reason I know this is hadith for sure because I was teaching at that one time at an Islamic school and taught the, all of this about the nails made of steel. And his, the body is itchy. He found people that has itchy bodies and they are given nails made out of steel. And they are scratching. And as they scratch, they are the flesh is cut off and ripped off the body and, you know, falls on the ground. And then he asked, he said, those are the people who gossip and backbite others and destroy the reputations of other people. Belittle other people and destroy their reputation, talk bad about them behind their back. And then the guy who was swimming in an ocean or in a lake of blood, and every time he comes, this this lake of blood has a an angel waiting on the marina. It has a marina and there's an angel standing on this marina. The guy takes one circle and he comes to him, opening his mouth like this, huh, huh, like feed me something. So he takes a piece of rock and he throw it in his throat, it chokes him, and then he takes one cycle and he goes back. It's a cycle, infinite cycle that keeps going. He asked Jibreel, who is this guy? He said, he's the one that eats riba, uses riba, puts riba on the people. You had, here's $1,000, bring them back $1,500. If you don't, like the Ashlof, do you know the Ashlof? Sheikh Sabir wrote about the Ashlof, the Jewish Ashlof. The Jewish Ashlok?
Shylock.
Huh?
Shylock.
Shylock. Shylock. Yes. Shylock. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. If, when you borrow money, if you don't pay, he cuts a piece of your flesh. He has soldiers. He's very powerful. He sends his soldiers to you. The collectors, they don't take you to a collection agency. No, they have the knives. They take you to the public and they slice pieces of your meat. One piece every day until you pay off your debt. Those are the kind of people that go into that severe punishment. And then he saw a very deep well, and men and women are cooking inside, and it's very tight that their bodies are touching each other in a very disgusting way, and they are doing like this over each other in the very deep well cooking. And then he's the Jibreel said, those are the people who did adultery and fornication in this life. And they are almost in the same position and this hereafter, but it is not enjoyment anymore. It is a punishment for
so
them.
This hadith is during Isra and Mi'raj.
Long hadith,
or
yeah.
Is it
in Mi'raj?
Is it he saw this in a dream?
No, this is the actual Mi'raj.
No, Mi'raj actually is not a dream.
Yes.
No, 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 I'm not saying Mi'raj. I thought this hadith was a dream that he saw.
No, it was the actual Mi'raj. And the reason I know that is because I one brother thought I'm teaching myth, superstition. So he came to me and he said, where do you get this from? So I brought the book, and I brought the hadith, and the narrate was narrated in the book of X and book of Y and book of Z, and I gave it to him. Mm-hmm. Then he, so that's why I came to know that this is a hadith for sure, just by coincidence. May Allah bless you.
Since we are on the subject of discussion, let all the care for us answering our questions.
No, may Allah bless you.
So, I don't know whether I can ask, so a couple of people all together and I said, you know, one of our friends was his mother was very sick. So I said, you know, may Allah do what is the best. And one of my friends, very knowledgeable martial arts, he said, Allah always does what is correct. And then somebody else corrected, oh, may Allah does what is good for us. So it kind of like, and I just thought about, you said something like that a couple of months ago, like, you know, that whatever Allah does, Allah is Hakim, and whatever he does it correct. And I'm just trying to understand, if that's the case, then what should I pray for? I really don't know. Should I say, may Allah make my friend's mother healthy? Or maybe I should say, oh, may Allah let her pass away because she is sick? I really don't know. So how should I pray in such a way?
There are two kinds of prayers presented in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first kind of prayer is you pray what appears to you to be good. That whatever appears to you good, that is what you ask for. However, your heart is fully convinced that if you don't get it, it's not because Allah didn't hear you, it's because it is best for you that you didn't, you don't get it. That's one way. So whatever appears in your eye at that point is that the guy gets out of bed and he becomes healthy again and he goes back to normal. So you are making this prayer with the faith in your heart and the heart of the listeners that that person, if this doesn't happen, it means that Allah knows better. But you pray, Ya Allah, give you health. Ya Allah, give me and give him health. Ya Allah, give me and give him money. Ya Allah, give me and give him. Give me and give him. Give me and give him a children. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. So that is one way. Then the other way is that the hayyu, the hadith, the dua that says, Ya hayyu, Ya qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith, aslih li sha'ni kullah, wa la takiluni ila nafsi turfat aynin aw aqalla min dhalik. Which, Ya hayyu, Ya qayyum, the one who is alive and supporting all heavens, everything in heavens and earth, choose for me. Choose for me. Don't let me choose. Make whatever is good for me is the one that actually happens. Make it, arrange things in such a way that your choices for me are the ones that are best for me. Bi rahmatika astaghith. Yes. Choose for me. Don't let me choose. Why? Because there's another picture that says that the if Allah does not help the smart boy, that's a word of wisdom. If Allah does not help the smart boy or does not guide the efforts of the smart boy, the first reason of his destruction will be his smart ideas and smart choices. And you can look at an example of the guy who invented the chess. Remember? The guy who made the chess to the emperor of China. He invented the game for chess. And the emperor of China was so impressed and wowed this game that he loved it so much. And then he told him, you ask for anything, I am the emperor. Anything you ask for, I'll give it to you. Okay? So he said, anything I ask for? He said, okay, just tell me what you want first, okay? But once I know what you know and I commit to it, you get it. I don't take back my word. But just tell me what you want first. Maybe you're going to ask for something not good. So
maybe you want to be the emperor.
Yeah. So he, the guy played smart. Of course, he's a smart guy, invented the chess. So he wanted to play smart. So he said, all what I want is something simple. You bring a chess board, and then you put on the first square one grain of rice, and then double for every square. So it is 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1024, 2048, and you keep going. Okay? And every time it doubles, it's geometric increase, where the rate of increase equal to the magnitude of the number itself. So at the beginning, the rate of increase was 1, then it became 2, then it became 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 plus 2 is 4, 4 plus 4 is 8, 8 plus 8 is 16. Now, it kept magnifying. Just imagine 2 to the power 64 means it is the number of miles. 2 to the power 64 is the number of miles between the Earth and the closest planet, which is 4 light years away from us. So here we go. And then you add that, 2 to the power 63 plus 2 to the power 64. They have calculated this. They found it is the entire product, or it's the product of the production of China of the rice for the next 100 and something years. So when he asked for that, it appeared to be something simple to the emperor. So he committed. He said, sure, you got my word. You will get it. Then he ordered his assistants and workers, go and give him what he wants. Maybe he will get a bag of rice at the end. So by the time they did the math, they came back and they said, this is the production of China of the rice for the next 100 and something years. Wow, very smart. Guess what happened? The emperor got very angry and he ordered to behead him. Genius. Genius. He got himself in a situation where he was beheaded.
That's why it doesn't happen, you know, you would be genius.
Yeah. And how many times a genius boy fails an exam because he thought that the simple problem is more sophisticated than it is actually is. And it was a simple answer. If you answered it, man, simple way, but he thought, no, can't be that simple. And he kept digging in, and he got so much hooked into it, and he lost all balance in distributing the time between this problem and other problems, and he flunked the test. So what I'm trying to say here in relation to this subject is that if Allah doesn't guide your choices, then your choices are going to be against you. It will be the reason for your destruction as an individual. How about... Does that conflict with that Allah always chooses the best? Allah always chooses the best for the collective humanity. But in this best, there are winners and losers. Just like in the scenario in the hereafter. Whatever happened was the best. But that best resulted in people in hell burning. That's not best for them. And people in Jannah enjoying, that's not best for them. But it is best for the entire collective existence.
So if I understand correctly, what you are saying is what my husband corrected, that don't say that may Allah do the best. Pray that may Allah do what is the best for me. Is that what you're saying?
You're talking about you're praying for yourself, not for the sick person.
For the sick person.
Yes,
may
for yourself.
May you do what is the best for that sick person for that sick person.
You're literally saying, may Allah make the best of everybody the best for me.
No.
Right? That's what you're saying.
No, you're not
saying that, but that's what you mean. May Allah make the best that He chooses, which is the best for everybody, happens to be the best for me as well. Like I happen to be a winner in that best.
Yeah.
Not a loser.
Yeah.
Not from the people of hell, for example, but from the people of Jannah.
Yeah.
So whatever scenario that Ya Allah decide is the best for everybody, I become from the winner side,
yes.
Not from the loser side. Yeah, that's what you're actually asking Allah for.
Yeah.
That's what you're actually praying for. You're not praying that Allah will do the best because He always does the best.
Okay.
Salaam alaikum.
Salaam alaikum. number, and you can drink alcohol and stay in Budkhana, but don't hurt the society, the people. You know, Maulana, there is one Sheikh, he's Maulana.
Is he a poet or is he a
Yeah, he's like, means that you...
Hurt yourself, but don't hurt the others.
Yeah.
If you want to hurt yourself,
yes.
It's better. If you have a desire to hurt somebody, hurt yourself, don't go hurt others. That's what he really means.
I beg to differ. It's not of my friends, they would say, well, it's okay to drink because if you don't drive after drinking, you're fine. You're just sitting at
home. Yeah, but that means that is you and your Allah between you.